What's up, guys? Wednesday night, November 13, 2019. Let me see Viva La Raza in the chat. It was 14 years ago today that we lost one of the all-time greats in pro wrestling. Eddie Guerrero passed away. He would have been 52 years old this year. He has his birthdays in October. So right now he would be 52 years old if he were still around today. A great loss for the wrestling business. A lot of people still miss Eddie to this very day. He's one of these guys, very rare. He can wrestle. He's charismatic. He could be this really vicious heel. He could be this really funny, charismatic babyface. And it's just, it sucks. It's amazing for me to think back that it's been that many years since he passed away, 14 years. It's crazy. It's crazy to not only think that, but that his wife, his widow, went on to have the kind of career that she had in WWE. What would Eddie have thought of the career that Vicky had? That's also pretty crazy for me to think about. But we have to acknowledge Eddie here up top because he was one of the best. He is very much missed. And shout out to him. Gone far too soon. This is your AEW review for November 13, 2019 from Kevin Nashville, Tennessee. I gave a shout out to Charlotte, North Carolina last week for the hot crowd. They only had, I want to say they had only about 3,000, 3 or 4,000 people in the building. Actually, you know what? Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me switch slides here so you can see that fine art on your screen. Steve Mello, if Steve's listening, shout out to Steve. He is the talented mind behind a lot of the artwork that you see here on this channel week in and week out. And he deserves to be shouted out, so I want to make sure I give him his just due here. But last week, AEW Dynamite was in Charlotte. They did not have a huge crowd, but the people that they did have there were loud. They were loud, they were energetic, they were boisterous. And I have to give props tonight to Nashville. I don't know how many people they had in the building there, in the, what were they, the Municipal Auditorium? Is that where they were? This crowd was hot all night long. They were hot up and down the card, and it just goes to show you, especially when you look at some of the recent WWE shows like Raw, it just goes to show you how much a hot crowd really can make a difference. It really does. It really does go to show you how much of a difference that they can make. The poll is open for those who want to vote. We're going to flash the results a little bit later on. At Solomonster on Twitter, thumbs up, thumbs down. Let me know what you thought of the show, and we'll show the results a little bit later on. Hit that sub button if you have not already done so. You'll see subscriber alerts popping up on your screen throughout the evening. And also, Super Chats are open. Super Chats are open. You'll see those flashing on your screen as well. You won't hear them, but you will see them. And don't forget, Russo on a poll, $10 or more for Russo on a poll. Otherwise, there's a whole bunch of funny random alerts that you'll see popping up throughout the evening. And before we get going here, already Casey is raw. Thank you for the $5 super chat. I've been listening to the podcast since kindergarten. Wow. And now I'm a 37-year-old man. I haven't been doing this for that long. Come on now. I know I'm older, but I'm not that old. And raw is Jimbo. Thank you for the $7 super chat. Appreciate it. This is his first time catching me in a while. Well, hopefully you enjoy the show. It's good to have Tony Schiavone back on commentary after missing full gear. He had a Georgia Bulldogs game he had to announce. And so we had him back on commentary tonight. And look, not to pick on JR, because I think JR is still, he's a legend. He's one of the best. He probably is the best of all time at what he does. But I have to point this out. They come on the air live tonight. They immediately go to the announcers. The announcers are running down the card. I love it. I love it when they run down the card, get you all hyped up, right, for what you're going to see tonight. And they go to Jim Ross, and not 90 seconds, not even 90 seconds into the show, he refers to full gear as fully loaded. Which was one of my favorite WWE pay-per-views back in the day. There were some pretty good fully loaded shows. Got JR getting those Attitude Era flashbacks here tonight. I saw somebody said he did it more than once. I only heard it the first time. I thought that was funny. I love JR. I kid JR. Earlier in the day, we see Kenny Omega backstage meeting with Dr. Samson, the man who saved Jerry Lawler's life. And he knows what he's doing. He would not clear Kenny Omega for action tonight. Omega was very upset. He said, well, what about Moxley? Yeah, you know, he was in that match. What about him? And he said, well, you know, Moxley was pretty beat up, but he's cleared. He's good to go. But you, well, that's a different story. And so Omega left the room. He was very dejected. He was very upset. So we had Michael Nakazawa. Michael Nakazawa was in the room with Kenny Omega when he was given the bad news. And they said, well, you know, he's a friend of Omega's, and he's gonna wrestle John Moxley. He's going to try to defend the honor of Kenny Omega. He was trying to defend the honor of his friend. Well, he turned out to be a pretty terrible friend because Moxley made short work of him in less than, what was it? I think it was less than a minute. It was about 45 seconds. Death Rider, Moxley, easy win. So Moxley gets a live mic. This is what Dynamite needs. This is what Dynamite needs more of. John Moxley with a live microphone gets the mic. Says, that one counts, right? Since the non-sanctioned match at Full Gear did not count towards his win-loss record. He wanted to make sure that this one did count towards his win-loss. He says, you know, I'm not a liar. I did exactly what I said I was going to do at Full Gear. And Kenny Omega, he's a radical son of a bitch. I respect him. He had the balls to get into the ring with me. And he says he's going to scorch the earth of AEW until he is the last man standing. And if anybody wants some, well, he's more than happy to take them on head on. So basically laying down the gauntlet to everybody else on the roster. Anybody who wants a piece of him can come get him. The crowd ate this up. I don't know if he's supposed to be a heel or not. He was beloved here in Nashville. I would imagine most places where he goes, he will be beloved. Loki, thank you for the $8 super chat. And again, Casey is Raw with another $5 super chat. Thank you very much. We had Marco Stunt. Marco Stunt and Jungle Boy representing the Jurassic Express taking on the Dark Order. Luchasaurus was still out with a hamstring injury, or so we thought. More on that in a second. Marco Stunt, now when he comes out, has a mini dinosaur mask for himself. He was gifted that. Might have been on Being the Elite. It was one of the YouTube videos I saw. He was gifted his own little baby dinosaur mask. He does not wear it during his matches, but he does wear it out to the ring. Jungle Boy got a hot tag midway through here, and this place went nuts. You know, we talk about how over the Luchasaurus was the last time we saw him. And I do think Luchasaurus, he's going to go on. He's going to become a big... I have no doubt in my mind. If he could stay healthy, he's going to go on to become a big single star. Heel, babyface, it doesn't even matter. He can do things at his size that a lot of people can't do. And he's got a big future ahead of him. But don't discount Jungle Boy, because when he comes out, he gets reactions on the same level as the Luchasaurus does. Half his size. But people love Jungle Boy. So he tags in, suicide dive to Grayson, jumping knee to Evil Uno. This whole thing broke down. There was a spot in here where Marco Stunt goes for a 450 into a Hurricanrana, the old Rey Mysterio combo. He used to beat guys all the time with this in WCW. He slipped. He had a little minor botch. He recovered. Hit the move anyway. In the end, though, Dark Order gets the best of the Jurassic Express. Hit the fatality, which I have to say, you know, I'm not the biggest fans of the Dark Order. Mainly because of the gimmick. I mean, really, entirely because of the gimmick. The fatality is a pretty cool finish, I will say. Fatality is a pretty cool finish. Gets him in position for the gory special. Guy comes off the top rope, turns it into basically a cutter on the way down. It's a pretty cool finish. So that wins the match. Match is over. Evil Uno gets on the mic. He tries to convince Marco Stunt to join them. Says, you could become one of our creepers, as they call them, which is funny because that's what I call all of those Stan accounts on Twitter. That's what they're called, right? Stan? Is that the word? Stan accounts for Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss. They all have theirs. Oh, believe me, I've heard from them all. I've heard from them all. The only question is, who has the worst stans on Twitter? I'm undecided. It used to be TNA. The TNA ones used to be the worst. Now it's for individual wrestlers. I'm not sure if it's for Alexa. I'm not sure if it's for Sasha. These people are on another level. They're operating on a different wavelength than the rest of us. So they all attack Jungle Boy and Marco. Evil Uno has a mask. And he's going to place the Dark Order mask on Jungle Boy. He's fitting the mask on his head. All of a sudden we hear music play. And out comes Luchasaurus. The Luchasaurus comes out. The place goes nuts. He has recovered. He has been cleared early from his injury. The belief was that he wouldn't be cleared until January. I don't know if that was all just the work. And they knew he would be back sooner. It's possible that, because he did in the media scrum after the pay-per-view, he was saying, he goes, look, they're saying I could be back in January. He goes, my goal is to be back as soon as a few weeks. So it's entirely possible he got to the building today. They evaluated him, and he passed all of their tests, and they cleared him. Could have been a last-minute decision. Whatever it was, he came out, he looked good, he wasn't limping. He didn't, you know, look bad in any way. He came out, he was knocking guys down left and right, hit Grayson with a choke slam, standing moonsault, and the place went nuts. The Jurassic Express is still one of the, if not the most overact in the entire company. Here's to bigger and better things for them. They were my pick to win the tag team tournament until Luchasaurus went down with the injury. I'm sure it's only a matter of time until they get the tag team titles. Raw is Jimbo with the 1293 super chat. Kind of an odd, it's an odd number, but okay. I like it. I like it. He says, just super chatting for Russo on a pole. Well, there you go. I didn't see it, but hopefully you did. Russo on a pole. He's so cute, right? He's so cute. Sean Spears, Darby Allin, and the Librarian, Peter Avalon. Triple threat match. This did not go very long before Joey Janela comes out. He might have had a few, two white claws. He's stumbling down the aisle. He goes after Sean Spears. They brawl into the crowd. Spears is gone. This is after what happened at Full Gear. Janela's looking for revenge. So they brawl into the crowd. Now it's down to a one-on-one match. You've got Darby Allin, and you've got Peter Avalon. And we had Darby Allin beating him with a coffin drop. He actually hit the coffin drop. It looked great. He was super over. Most people were super over on the show. They either got super heat or a super positive reaction. This is what I'm talking about. Nashville. They brought it. Nashville brought it tonight. This was a fun crowd to watch. Not every segment was a home run. Although I did think overall it was a very good show. Not their best, but I thought it was a very good show. But the crowd, they were into it. So Darby Allin wins, he grabs a mic, and he says, John Moxley, I accept. And so that match is now official for next week's show. It will be John Moxley against Darby Allin. Also next week, they're having a Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal with the final two men standing in a singles match the following week on Dynamite. If it was on Impact, that would be kind of wild. But the two men left standing at the end of the Battle Royal will have their own match the week after. You know what? It's like that IC title Battle Royal. Remember on Raw back in 93? Shawn Michaels got suspended, stripped. They had a Battle Royal. Who were the last two men in the Battle Royal? Razor Ramon, Rick the Model Martel. So what did they do? They had a singles match on TV the following week. Razor wins the championship for the first time. Same thing. Final two men will have a singles match the week after. It's smart because you get 2 weeks worth of television out of it instead of one. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a wise move on their part. The winner, the ultimate winner, is going to receive not a title, not a title shot, not purse money, which is kind of old school. They're going to get a diamond ring. So I guess in lieu of them creating a secondary title, which I still think is inevitable at some point, in lieu of a second title, second singles title, they're going to be giving out a diamond ring. Now, unless that ring gives them magical powers, I don't like it. Magical powers or the right to challenge for the top title? That would make sense. If you win the ring and you get a shot at Chris Jericho's championship, great. Great. Bigger and better things. Makes sense. If not, that sounds pretty lame. So I'm going to withhold judgment until they explain exactly what that all means. Maybe you win a match with Gollum or something. I have no idea. So that Battle Royal is coming up next week. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Let me just do a quick check here. See how many people we got. Well, we got a lot of people. We got over 800 people so far and counting. So shout out to everybody listening live here tonight for the weekly Dynamite review. We have Nyla Rose. Actually, before we get to that, Ryan W. I just spotted that. Ryan W., thank you for the $10.99 super chat. I could see 10 more Pac and Paige matches. Yes. Yes. That was very good. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Nyla Rose against Danny Jordan. And I laughed because I looked online. I was just curious. I said, is that really the name they're using for her? Did I hear them wrong? And from what I saw, they spell it D-A-N-I. Now that spelling of Danny is not all that uncommon. It's kind of unique. It's not that uncommon. But D-A-N-I, last name Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N. It's like they're trying to be too cool for school. It's like in WCW when they had Asia. Was it A-S-Y-A? It's like China. Trying to be cool. Anyway, it doesn't matter because she got her ass kicked. Corner splash by Nyla Rose, Samoan drop, beast bomb. Nyla Rose wins. Not really much of a match. I can't say that I am all that excited when I see Nyla Rose come out. I have yet to see what the big deal is about Nyla Rose. Not for nothing. Am I missing something here? I mean, I guess she's supposed to be in that beast role. She's supposed to be the big badass on that women's roster. I have yet to see anything special. Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone's in the aisleway for an interview with Ali. We haven't seen, I don't think we've seen Allie at all on Dynamite since the show debuted. All of a sudden, there's Allie sucking up to the crowd in Nashville. Lights go out. We see Brandi Rhodes come out with Awesome Kong. And Kong lays her out. Brandi grabs Allie's hair. And Kong whips out her giant blade and slices off some of her locks. Just like she did with Bea Priestley at Full Gear. She's collecting locks of hair. Here's what I want to know. Forget the hair. Fuck the hair. How is she getting through airport security with that knife? Do you see this thing? Are you kidding me? I mean, she may as well walk through the airport with fucking ninja stars. How is she getting through airport? I can't even bring a small bottle of shampoo when I go on vacation. How is this woman smuggling that blade with her from city to city? Some people aren't doing their job. Chris Jericho, he came out for an interview, still demanding his thank you, retained his championship on his 49th birthday. 49 years old, Chris Jericho's on top of the world. He's got his own faction. He's the world champion in this upstart promotion. He still has his band with his music. He's got his bubbly. He's on top of the world, this guy. He wants a thank you from AEW management. And he was interrupted here by MJF. Maxwell Jacob Friedman, he comes out mega heel heat. I was kind of hoping that he would open the show and just come out and get showered in booze. And instead, they waited here until the top of the hour. He comes out mega heel heat. He says Cody could not give a shit about any of the fans. He only cares about himself. Cody wanted to put MJF under his thumb. His thumb isn't big enough to hold him down. He says, you're looking at the new face of AEW. And he says, Cody, I'm better than you, and you know it. That's his signature line. So then he turns to Chris Jericho. And he says, I'm hearing that you want me to join your little inner circle jerk. Which was a fantastic line, by the way. I don't know if that was his idea. Whose idea that was? That was awesome. Jericho says, you know, you and I, We have a lot in common. We're both from Long Island. We both have three initials. We both have scarves. It's almost like your parents got horny watching me wrestle Juventud Guerrera 25 years ago and out popped little MJF. Which is probably, let's be honest, I mean, that's probably what happened. Jericho and Hoovy. Jericho and Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg in particular, I'm sure that got a lot of women hot under the collar. Jericho and Dean Malenko, well, maybe not Dean Malenko, but you get the point. Jericho and La Parca, strumming that chair like a guitar. Come on now. So out popped little MJF, and he goes, do you want to be in the inner circle? MJF says, well, do you want me to be in the inner circle? Back and forth like a comedy routine. And finally they say, do you know who the biggest jackass in AEW is? And they want you to think they're going to come to blows. They're going to say, you know, each other's name. And they pause, and at the exact same moment, they say, Cody Rhodes, or Cody. Maybe they didn't say Rhodes. They said Cody. And then they hugged. I thought this was great. So that brought out Cody, who ran down. He attacked both men. He tried for a snap power slam on Jericho. He botched it. He hit the power slam on the second attempt. And then out came everyone's favorite in the chat. I know it's coming, so you may as well just get it over with already. Out comes Wardlow, making his AEW debut. It looks like he's going to be with MJF. He beat the shit out of Cody. MJF, the whole time, he was directing traffic. He was cheering him on like a cheerleader. Like Paul Heyman did with Brock Lesnar when Brock Lesnar first debuted in WWE. I mean, Wardlow even used the variation of the F5. I mean, it was more like a Death Valley driver. Or the Cena attitude adjustment. But it was kind of like an F5 on Cody. Then he wrapped his tie around Cody's neck. And he hung him over the top rope with it. So my question coming out of this, or the question, is MJF going to be more of a manager for Wardlow, or is Wardlow going to be the diesel to MJF's Shawn Michaels? Because here's the thing about MJF. I think MJF, he gets it. He's a great heel. Even when he's not in the ring, when he's not on camera, he was at StarCast signing autographs. He was signing pictures for women saying, you know, signing it, you know, dear whore, or dear fat girl. Like, the kind of stuff you just don't see these days. He's awesome. He gets it. He gets his character. He understands it. That's a rare thing in wrestling today. The one thing we have not yet seen out of MJF, at least, you know, not in AEW. You see it to some degree in MLW. But in AEW, we really haven't had the chance to see MJF as far as an in-ring worker. He's had a few matches, but when was the last real big MJF match you've seen in AEW? He really hasn't had any yet. So the question is, can he carry his end of the deal in the ring? You know, he's got to be able to go to some degree. He doesn't have to work like Pac or Sammy Guevara or AJ Styles. Doesn't have to be all about work rate with him, but we still have yet to see really what he's capable of in the ring. I think the right role would be for Wardlow to be his heavy, to be his muscle. Now, he could still have a few matches himself, but I think the focus should be now getting MJF over in the ring. You got to get him over as a threat. If he's going to feud with Cody, you know, you got to give this guy some wins. He's got to have a vicious side to him, and that's just something we still haven't seen. So that's my question. You know, what's the order going to be here? Is it going to be Wardlow watching his back, or is it going to be the other way around? Shout out to Desmond McCade for the $5 super chat, and Chase Wood, $10 super chat earlier. Great show. He says, good Lord, they need to work on the timing of the show. The main event felt super rushed. Yes, it did. I thought they were going to go off the air without a finish. I was looking at the clock. I said, look, if they have a hard stop at 10 p.m., this match is going to be over before it's actually over. And then they wrapped that up real quick because they probably felt they were going off the air, you know, any second. They had to get that match done. Anyway, MJF and Jericho together in the ring with microphones. It was just as entertaining as you would expect. And MJF is only 23 years old. He's a kid. He's a baby. He's a young guy. It's kind of scary, as good as he already is. We are going to be taking phone calls, a few of them, in a little bit. I got more recording to do when we're done here, so we're not going to take too many. So if you can try to get through, you'll be one of the lucky ones. There's the phone number on your screen. That's coming up in a little bit. Then we had Hangman Page. Actually, you know what? Let me get a drink here. I got a drink that's two ice cubes in it. It's going to be all watered down. My goodness. I got to celebrate. I told you guys, it is the 12-year anniversary of my podcast this month. I'm not just celebrating this week. I'm celebrating all month long. Every night is going to be a party. I work my ass off enough. Every night is going to be a party, especially when I'm with you guys here live on the air. Come on. You got to have some fun. This is my release, which is something I'm sure Sin Cara wishes he could have. Hangman Page and Pac in the rubber match of their feud. They came into this tied at one win apiece. And like all of their matches so far, I thought this was very good. Now, I didn't think this was as good as their match at Full Gear or as long. Although length is not always an indicator of quality. But I thought this was a step below that, but still very good. Late in the match, they end up outside the ring. They're having a great match. Crowd's chanting, this is awesome. So the action spills outside. And we got some comments in the chat. The bubbly. I wish I had some bubbly. I actually wish I had some bubbly. The thing about the bubbly, real quick, I don't want to spend too much time on this. We got New Year's coming up. Always around New Year's, if I'm with friends, sometimes I'm not, sometimes I'm doing work here at home. But if I'm out, if I'm celebrating New Year's somewhere, of course they have champagne, they have the champagne. It doesn't take a whole lot of that stuff to get me very tipsy. Am I the only one? Am I the weak link here? I have a little bit of that stuff, and I'm flying. I don't know what it is. So you can keep the bubbly away from me. Late in the match, Pac is dropped on his head on the floor outside the ring with a brain buster. He dropped this fucking guy right on top of his head, which is actually par for the course because that's what Pac did to him at Full Gear. He dropped him on a chair that was outside the ring. So, Page was returning the favor. And this time he dropped him straight down on his head. He rolls him into the ring, hits the buckshot lariat. I thought that was the finish. Pac kicks out at 2.5. So now, Pac's in the corner. Referee is holding back Adam Page. Why? I don't know. Adam Page wasn't doing anything wrong. He's trying to wrestle the guy. This referee's holding him back. And that gives Pac the opportunity to hit two straight pump kicks to the face. And he knocks out Hangman Page. Now he's stomping on Page's head, and I was worried that the referee was going to throw this match out. Pac kept disregarding him. He's stomping on the head. Page isn't moving. I said, oh my God, they're going to do... He's kicking too much ass finish, and the referee's going to throw the match away. But he didn't. And instead, Pac went up top. He hit the Black Arrow, immediately transitioned into the Brutalizer, and referee Bryce Remsburg calls the match off, and so Pac is awarded the win. He kept that Brutalizer on for a while before he finally let go. So Pac wins. I guess Pac wins the feud. I really don't see the need to keep matching these two guys up. We've seen enough, I think, between these two guys already. We can probably move on from here, I would think. We cut to the back. And the Young Bucks are attacking Santana and Ortiz. They power slam Ortiz through a table. Santana climbs up on top of a forklift and jumps off. Quite possibly the same forklift that nearly killed Roman Reigns. Santana knocks one of the Bucks into a door nearby. The door pops open. And when the door pops open, I was standing, or Orange Cassidy was standing there. And he got a big pop for doing absolutely nothing. Santana reaches for the doorknob and very slowly closes the door because he don't want none of this shit. They cut to a break. We come back. The brawl has now spilled out into the arena. Young Bucks, Santana, and Ortiz, they're going at it. Santana and Ortiz take their sack of baseballs from Full Gear. Remember Excalibur? He was debating with Jim Ross what's in the sack. It looks like baseballs. I couldn't fucking... How are you supposed to know? Something round was in their sack. They take their sack and they whack Nick Jackson in the knee with their sack repeatedly. Santana, meanwhile, he spray paints a circle, or a bullseye, as they called it, on the part of the stage where last week they put Ricky Morton through. It's basically this gimmicked extension. It's almost like cardboard, this extension to the stage. So they spray paint this white circle, and they lift up Matt Jackson for a powerbomb. They powerbomb him right through, and it's amazing how he was powerbombed, and it was a perfect square. Did you notice that? It was a perfect square that Matt Jackson fell through here on this stage. Amazing. Amazing. So then they go back after Nick. Brandon Cutler comes out to try to stop them. They beat him up. Private Party finally comes out. They try to fight them off. Officials take them to the back. This probably went on longer than it should have. It was a wild brawl for what it was, but went a little long. It wasn't as good as that brawl a few weeks ago, where they brawled up into the mezzanine. That was nuts. That was nuts. And it did not take them very long. Within, I would say, 60 seconds of this brawl coming to an end, they announced the match for next week will be Santana and Ortiz against Private Party. And it was right around here. Excalibur mentioned the death of their friend, House of Glory wrestler Matt Travis. I talked about him at the beginning of the Full Gear stream. I talked about him on Sunday's podcast. Young kid, 25 years old, had his whole career, had his whole life ahead of him. He was actually headed home late at night. This was very early in the morning. Riding his bicycle, heading home from the gym where he was working out. He was wearing his House of Glory hoodie. And he got struck by a dump truck that was making an illegal U-turn, never stopped. They still haven't found the driver. He was killed. It was a terrible tragedy. And he was a good friend to all of these guys. Santana, Ortiz, Private Party. These guys are from HOG. They came up together. They worked together. And I thought it was very cool, very nice, very, very cool to hear Excalibur name drop Matt Travis here on the show. And mention the fact that Private Party wants to honor his memory. And so that's what they're going to do with that match next week. And, you know, we're going to honor his memory this Saturday night at the House of Glory show. The next show is coming up this weekend. That's going to be a tough show to call, but I cannot think of being anywhere else this Saturday other than there in Queens. And good on AEW, you know, doing that match. Private Party against, you know, LAX next week. Two teams that I'm sure are going to do Matt proud, without a doubt. So I thought that was very cool. And the main event, we had Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara taking on SCU for the AEW tag team titles. As somebody said earlier in one of the super chats, this felt very rushed. I think it went about 10 or 11 minutes. It did feel very rushed. They tried to fit a lot in here. And Scorpio Sky was really getting a lot of the shine here in this match. And Jim Ross on commentary has gone out of his way to really put over Scorpio Sky. I don't know how many people remember this or not. Scorpio Sky was used in several of those Kane and Daniel Bryan anger management skits. He was one of the guys that was sitting in that round circle. During those sessions, they used him for those segments. This was many years ago, and it was around that time there was some controversy over some comments and tweets that he had posted that people thought were very offensive about gays and some other stuff, and people thought he was going to be blackballed. And certainly I and a lot of other people thought, well, that's it for him as far as having a shot at WWE, if that was his goal, if he was trying to get noticed, being used as an extra. There's no way WWE is going to use this guy now. He's toxic. That's how he's been painted by the masses. And so he has had a career resurgence, the whole SCU thing and being signed by AEW. And now here he is on TV having a chance to shine, being put over. He You know, his career could have easily gone down the tubes because of all that stuff that went down all those years ago, and he has had a career resurgence, and he's a talented guy. So, you know, good for him getting the chance to not only shine here, but Scorpio Sky putting his needs up on the Lion Salt, I believe it was, becomes the first man here to pin Chris Jericho in an AEW ring. He rolls him up for the pin. Jericho is beside himself. Jericho is absolutely furious. He can't believe what's happened. They went off the air with Jericho throwing furniture. He was throwing a chair around. He was absolutely beside himself. Could not believe that he lost to this man. So they put over SCU. They retained the tag team titles. And that is how they went off the air. On the whole, I thought this was a very good show. Not their best. I would not put this at number one or number two. But coming out of Full Gear, you know, they followed up on some of the stories with Moxley and Omega, Cody, MJF. I love the interaction with Jericho and MJF. I thought that was maybe the highlight of the show. Main event was really nothing special. But on the whole, I enjoyed the show. Let's flash the Twitter poll results. By the way, CT Raheem, thank you earlier for the $1.99 super chat. And Vincent Millage with a $5 super chat, becoming a big fan, he says, of Adam Page. I can see him being champion in the future. No, I can too. But, you know, going into All Out, I said it would be a mistake to put the title on him because it's too soon. He's not ready. He's not over at that level. He's not ready. You risk, you know, he was winning so many matches. You risk him suffering the Roman Reigns treatment where fans say, oh, you're shoving him down our throats. He's not ready for this. And they start booing him and there's a fan backlash. You know, why do that to the guy? Jericho was the perfect person to put that title on. I would like to think that by now everybody who disagreed can see it was the right move to make. But in due time, next year, a year from now, 2 years from now, yes. I think Adam Page absolutely will be a world champion in AEW. Here are the poll results so far. There you see, what did you think of AEW Dynamite from Kevin Nashville? 85% thumbs up, 15% thumbs down, with over 1,200 votes in so far. So a overwhelmingly positive reaction, as most of the polls have been so far. I think even the people that have found little quibbles with the show, it seems people on the whole have been enjoying it. You know, this head-to-head with NXT, which, and I think the last few weeks of NXT, frankly, have been some of the best NXT showings that I've seen maybe ever. I mean, they've had some very strong shows too. I think we've been spoiled in many ways the last few weeks, considering what we have to sit through on Mondays and Fridays. Wednesdays has become the go-to night for pro wrestling. So taking nothing away from NXT, Chris Ludek with the $10 Russo on a pole super chat. Thank you very much. Says, the MJF Jericho segment where they both said Cody at the same time reminded me of Jericho and KO, both blaming Roman Reigns for the survival. You know what? That's a great point. That's exactly what this was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Jericho's idea to do that segment that way tonight. And, Oofman Rules with the $5 Fight Me super chat. Jericho was bragging that he has not lost in AEW in his promo. Should have seen it coming. Well, I didn't see it coming either, so that you can count you and me together. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5 super chat. Very, very much appreciate it. Love AEW paying tribute to Matt Travis with Private Party against Proud and Powerful. Very humble and heartwarming. Yes, very, very cool of them to do that. So there are the poll results. Again, you can still vote. Poll's going to be open for a couple more days. So by all means, the more votes, the merrier. And usually these things are open for at least a couple of days. Now, before I get to some of the calls, I'm not getting to it yet. Not yet. I am going to talk about CM Punk because that was kind of a big story. Even though if you really stop and think about it, there really isn't much to the story. But I knew. Let me explain what happened here. So I usually am up very late I don't know why. I have no reason to be up so late. I have to wake up very early in the morning. I walk around like a zombie. I don't drink coffee. It's terrible. Last night, my body just shut down. I was sitting here doing work, and I literally, my head was falling down. I kept waking up. I said, this is ridiculous. Go to fucking bed. So I went to bed around 11:30. Okay? I wake up this morning, tons of tweets, emails. Oh my God, OMG, CM Punk is back. I'm like, what the fuck did I miss? What the hell? What the hell's going on here? You would think that CM Punk ran in on the main event of WrestleMania and with a blowtorch and set somebody on fire. So then I looked into what happened and I said, all right, not a huge surprise. We kind of heard the murmurs, we heard the rumors. But you would think that this was such a big deal. CM Punk back on TV. And I can understand why people would feel that way. You know, there he is hobnobbing with WWE contracted personalities on TV. But as soon as we're done here, in a few minutes, I'm going to record a Sound Off Extra covering all the CM Punk stuff, preemptively answering all of the questions that I'm already getting some emails about. You can pretty much figure what they are. Because I figured, you know, I can't wait until Sunday. I'm just going to get more emails. So let me do a Sound Off Extra. So as soon as I wrap up here, I will be recording that. And I will be uploading that to the channel. So that's just an FYI for those of you who want my thoughts on the whole CM Punk thing. That will be going up here separately on the channel. So that will be something to look forward to. We're going to get it all out. I'm a couple Jack and Cokes in. So we're going to talk about CM Punk and we're going to have a good time in just a little bit. Right now we'll jump into a few calls. We won't be able to take too many of them here, but we'll take a few. 989-282-SOLO. 989-282-7656 is the number to call. Let's jump to Brawley, California, West Coast, area code 760. You are on the air.
Hey, what's up, fellow officer? How's it going?
Going very well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, I want to say congratulations to 12 years of the podcast. I think that's awesome. And I'm glad that you did a little shout out to Eddie Guerrero at the very beginning of the stream. We miss Eddie so much. And I mentioned, I actually met Vicky Guerrero earlier this year in person, and she is a very, very sweet human being, very different from the person, the character she portrayed on WWE. So I thought that was really cool getting to meet her this earlier this year.
Oh, very cool. I heard that she went back to college, I think, and she got her degree.
Oh, wow. Did not know that. That's really cool. So overall, I enjoyed this episode of Dynamite. There were some good matches. Really enjoyed the Moxley promo. Enjoyed MJF's promo. I loved that banter, that back and forth between Jericho and MJF. I think that was awesome. I enjoyed it. And I did laugh so hard when he talked about the whole, you know, how MJF's parents got it on when Jericho was beating up Juventud Guerrera on Saturday night. I laughed so hard. I think that was a great line.
I love the fact that Juventud got a shout out here on TV in 2019. And it made me very sad when MJF came back with the obvious line, which is, who is Juventud? Who is Juvi? I don't know who that is. But yes, Juventud Guerrera, right, once again here on TNT with Tony Schiavone on commentary, getting a shout out in 2019. That was very cool.
It's no wonder why people call AEW the second coming of WCW. Go figure.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So I wanted to, the question I wanted to ask you is a little bit more of an opinion on something you talked about briefly during last week's Dynamite review and something you hit on earlier when talking about that battle royal that they're doing next week. So I agree. I think AEW is in need of a secondary title, because it only makes sense. They already have a world title, they have a women's title, and they have a tag team title. So it's only right that they introduce a secondary title. And I actually have an idea on a secondary title. So, and this is actually an idea that I've had for maybe about a couple of years. So I wanted to get your opinion on it. This is a title I like to call the American Championship.
Okay.
So first off, when you hear American championship, you're probably thinking, okay, probably something along the lines of a United States championship. Well, that's actually not the case. See, my idea would be it's more on the lines of the North American championship over on NXT, but you throw in South America. So it's a North and South American championship, but because, you know, North and South American championship is too long, why not just call it the American championship? So the America or the American and the title is a reference to basically the Americas, the two American continents, North and South. And as far as a design for the belt goes, I'm thinking something along the lines of the NWA world title, where basically the plates on the belt incorporate flags. But in this case, because it's a North and South American title, it can have the flags of the various countries from both continents. So like, for instance, you have for the North American side, you have the American or the United States flag, the Canadian flag, and the Mexican flag. And then over on the South American side of things, you have, let's say, the flag of Brazil and the flag of Argentina, just to name a few. So that's like my idea of a secondary title, the American Championship. And I wanted to get your opinion on the idea.
I'm not really a fan. You know, just for this reason. You know, in WWE, we have the United States Championship. In NXT, we have the North American Championship. I just feel, let's get away from the America stuff. Right? I mean, we all love America, but let's get away from the America stuff for a little while. Like, you know, we can certainly come up with any number of names for a new championship. I floated the Dream title a few weeks ago. You don't have to like that. Doesn't have to be the Dream title. It can be something else. I think we need to get away from the whole continents. We have the Intercontinental in WWE. We have the Intercontinental in New Japan. America this, America that. All right, enough. We could probably do better and come up with a cooler name. I can't think of too many off the top of my head. I'd have to think about it. Maybe some people in the chat can float some ideas. But because there's so much of that already, let's get away from that. Let's try something different. Let's come up with a unique name. That's what I would like to see. So, not to rain on your parade or anything, you clearly gave this a lot of thought, but I would rather they go in a different direction. Let's go to, hopefully I didn't ruin that guy's night. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. You're on the air, area code 214.
Hey, Salo, it's Mondo.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. How you been?
I've been doing very well. We had a good show tonight, so I'm in a good mood.
Oh, very good. I saw the Full Gear pay-per-view. Very nice. I love the presentation. There's even some moments during the Cody and Jericho match where the lights on top, I swear, almost look similar to Dominion. And there was a point where I'm thinking, am I watching Full Gear or am I watching Dominion? It was very New Japan-esque, and I like that.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing
at all. And for those of the people that actually were complaining, well, not complaining, but a little bit, you know, thinking, the MJF heel turn happened early. If you watch Being the Elite, there's an episode where he's introduced by Cody, and ironically, the episode is titled Full Gear. I suggest people go watch it and see how it all begins.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Thank you for the call. Let's go to trying to get through a few more here before we wrap up. Let's go to Middletown, Ohio. Area code 513. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Sean. How's it going?
Good, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. So I watched AEW Unite. I really enjoyed it. It was a pretty entertaining show. Although there was a couple incidents where it was a little bit cringy. The part where Cody and Chris Jericho, they went for a spot where Cody's supposed to do a power slam, but then they kind of tangled up a little bit. And I was like, and also in the main event, of course, everybody thought that the main event was a little rushed. But besides that, overall, I really enjoyed the show. And, but besides that, the women's division, I got to say something about the women's division. It's kind of stale right now. And right now, NXT has a way better women's division, to me anyway. And I just like to ask, like, what do you think, like, who do you think AEW could sign or promote on their television to actually, you know, create some buzz with the women's division?
Tessa Blanchard. Very simple. Tessa Blanchard. And I don't know what their chances are of signing her. I mean, her deal supposedly is not up until the summer. I mean, nobody knows. No one sees her contract except her. The belief, because there were all these rumors just a few weeks ago, Tessa Blanchard's contract is up or it's coming up. She's going to go to WWE. She's going to go here. I don't think her contract is up until mid-year, until next summer. She may end up winning the Impact World title at their Hard to Kill pay-per-view in January. I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing how that match turns out. But when her deal is up, she is going to be the hottest commodity in wrestling amongst all of the major promotions. WWE is going to want her. AEW is going to want her. ROH, if they were smart, I don't know what their chances are of signing her, but they have their Women of Honor division, which is just drowning right now. They could definitely use somebody like her, MLW. So there's a lot of promotions that would benefit from having her, I think, under contract. And I think the biggest war is going to be between WWE and AEW. If AEW was smart, they would throw a bunch of money at her and bring her in. And they could make her the crown jewel of that women's division. Because if not, she'll end up in WWE. And within a few years, you'll have a WrestleMania main event of Tessa Blanchard against Charlotte. I guarantee it. Mark my words. I can't put an exact timestamp on it, but you could bet your ass that there will be a WrestleMania main event one day between Charlotte Flair and Tessa Blanchard, built around the idea the two daughters of two of the original Four Horsemen, one-on-one, in the middle of the ring. It kind of sells itself. But where she'll end up, anyone's guess. If AEW was smart, they would make a play for her. Let's do one more. Let's go to, let's see here. Well, you know, the show tonight was in Nashville. So let's go to a different part of Tennessee. Area code 423. You're on the air.
Hey, Jace, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, I just want to say congratulations on the 12 years of your awesome show that I enjoyed for so long.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I like AEW Night. I thought it was really good. It was entertaining. There was some, you know, some kind of like, you know, mismatch stuff. But other than that, I enjoy the Chris Jericho stuff and the Cody Rhodes stuff. And I do agree with you. I think Tessa Blanchard would be great for AEW. To me, I'm a big fan of her. I think she's better than Charlotte Flair. I know that might, you know, there's some, you know, not a lot of people mad, but to me, Tessa Blanchard is the real deal, and I think if she does go to AEW, I think it'd be great. What do you think about the show tonight?
I said before, I thought the show tonight was very strong. You know, they tried to put different people over. They put Scorpio Sky over in the main event. I have no idea where that's going. I don't think they're going to give him a singles push, but he got a win tonight over the world champion, so at the very least, I would think they can get a TV match out of it next week or the week after, maybe. Jericho defending against Scorpio Sky. I wouldn't even do it next week. I think you can build it up for 2 or 3 weeks from now and tell the Scorpio Sky story and get people invested in the match. Of course, he wouldn't win, kind of like Jericho and Darby Allin, but I think you could have 1 week where that could be the main event and, you know, a win, a hard-fought win for Jericho on TV. So I thought it was a strong effort, I thought, tonight overall. I enjoyed the show. And why don't we wrap it up there? Some good insight there. Again, I have a sound-off extra that I'm going to be recording here in just a few minutes that'll be going up on the channel. I'll probably just get it up tonight. I was going to hold off until the morning. I might just push it out in the next couple of hours. I mean, what the hell? I'm going to be up until 2 o'clock in the morning anyway, so what the hell? So I'll be talking about CM Punk, all things CM Punk. We'll get that up here in a little bit. You see on your screen right now, though, we have a special offer. I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. Kane, Mayor Kane, has a book coming out. I don't know how many people even know that, but the story of Mayor Kane is going to be available at the end of this month. Glenn Jacobs is going to be telling his life story in wrestling, his life story in politics. He's going to be narrating the audiobook himself. Over 7 hours of audio he himself narrating his own book. It's going to be on Audible for $30. Guess what? You don't have to pay a dime. You can get it for free. You can pre-order it right now. All you have to do is use that link on your screen, audibletrial.com/solomonster. If you sign up now, 30-day trial. If you happen to cancel before those 30 days are up, for whatever reason, you don't like it, it's not for you, you can cancel, you won't be billed, and the book is yours. You get to keep it. You don't have to give it back. It doesn't evaporate on your phone. You don't get a little skull and crossbones and it vanishes like a virus. The book is yours. And he's got an interesting story. He's got it from Unabomb and Smoky Mountain, Isaac Yankum, Fake Diesel, Kane. Imagine the stories that this guy could tell. I don't see him burning bridges, but you never know. So anyway, you can get Mayor Kane's book, pre-order it right now using our link on Audible. Thank you, everybody, for joining me tonight. This was fun. We had over $100 on the dot in Super Chats. Thank you very, very much. Everybody who donated, everybody who contributed, everybody who subbed, chatted, called. You guys are awesome. I hope you'll join me. Tune into the Sound Off Extra on CM Punk coming up in just a little bit on the channel. And until next week, I'll be back with another Dynamite live stream and, of course, episode 626 coming up this Sunday. Until then, have yourselves a great week, and I will see you in a little bit for Sound Off Extra. Take care, guys.